This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the Honorable Tracy Mann, representing the Big First Congressional District of Kansas, member of the House Ag Committee, Veterans Affairs, and great to see you.
Well, fantastic to be with you this morning. Thanks for taking the time.
And when we talk about that Big First District of Kansas, we're talking about a lot of agriculture. You are very diversified there.
Yep. So I grew up on a family farm. I'm the fifth generation to live in my house. So our family's always farmed and fed cattle. The Big First of Kansas, the western two-thirds of the state, excluding the Wichita area, it's the number three ag-producing district in the country. So we're number one in the country. Sales, there's only three congressional districts in the country out of 435 that are $10 billion or greater. We're $14.5 billion. We're number one for beef production, number one for wheat, number one for sorghum, number seven for corn, and number 11 for dairy. So it's all about agriculture for me and for the district.
So when I throw out this thing called 30 by 30, what does that mean for someone who lives in that first congressional district?
Yeah, well, first off, it makes my head want to explode. This is a horrible executive order. This is one of many executive orders that President Biden issued his first week in office. And what it did is it said that by the year 2030, 30% of land should be in conservation throughout the country, but really left no additional details than that, but referenced a report that would then come out. That report came out about a month ago, and the report has seven tenets in it. One of them said that conservation, existing conservation programs would count towards the 30%. It also said that people's individual personal property rights would be respected. So that's positive. The report could have been worse. However, I don't think for agriculture, our bar should be, we should be happy because this could have been worse. I think the bar should be what's right for agriculture and for my district. And I actually introduced legislation 3 weeks ago to do away with executive order altogether called the No Land Grab Act. So we're pushing back hard against it. Very concerning to me.
Usually when we think about legislation that affects the farmer, the rancher, if you will, we're thinking about a farm bill. Is it too soon to start thinking about that?
No, it's really not. The current farm bill expires in 2023. That'll be the next Congress. That'll be after the next election. However, I anticipate, I'm on the House Ag Committee, I anticipate we start laying the groundwork for that here probably later this year or sometime next year in preparation for a really important farm bill in 2023.
Trade, though, huge. Well, you mentioned how big the district is. You mentioned sorghum, and that's one crop that we're sending more of it probably than we're actually keeping here in the U.S. How important is trade?
Trade is crucial. You know, we've seen an increase in commodity prices, crops, really over the last few months. So a lot of farmers are feeling pretty good about things. Of course, input costs are higher. That's of concern. But at the end of the day, it's all about trade. I think we have to remember that the Phase One China trade deal was signed last January 15th, went into effect February 15th, but it was only a two-year deal, which means it expires now next February 15th, which is about 9 months away. So we need, the administration needs to be proactively, and we as a country need to be proactive in our conversations with China and other trade partners. We need to decide and really think through who do we want our trade partners to be in 5, 7, 10 years and work today to build those relationships for the future so we're not so reliant on China.
We talk about relationships, and there was a group of landowners that came together to try to solve an issue that was presented to them, and that was dealing with the lesser prairie chicken. And it was a voluntary effort to try to help bring these numbers back. A setback, if you will, for those landowners. What's happening?
Yeah, very concerning. So 2 weeks ago, Wildlife Department of Interior reached out saying that the lesser prairie chicken, which has, you know, regions in Kansas, New Mexico, Texas, Colorado, Oklahoma, came out and said that they are looking at adding it back onto the threatened list. So very concerning, very disappointing. I was actually on the floor of the House last night giving a speech railing against this bad regulation. Here's the deal. Voluntary efforts have increased the population of that bird. If you look at it, drought and rainfall really has as much to do as about anything else right now. We've had some wetter years, been good for ag producers as well. The level they were at 2013, about 14,000 birds in my district. Now we're up more than twice that. So it's trending in the right direction. Really disappointed to see the administration and what they did here a couple weeks ago.
You mentioned the drought. How's the district as far as the drought? Are we moving out of it? Are we moving into it? What are you seeing?
A very large district, so it just depends. Extreme southwest Kansas, still very dry. A lot of concerns there. We have other parts of the district where producers are late getting their corn and sorghum and beans planted because of all the rain that they've gotten. So our district is 200. Our district is the size of Illinois. So it varies widely from east to west, north to south. So we have some really dry areas and some too wet areas as well. And that's what happens when Mother Nature is your business partner.
And I guess one thing that doesn't vary from one side of the district to the other is how tax reform might hit an individual family, especially talking stepped up basis.
Yeah, Tony, really concerned about this infrastructure bill and the pay-fors in that were a lot of changes that would be devastating for agriculture. You know, increasing the corporate tax rate is one thing. Changing some of the estate tax exemptions is another thing, but doing away with the stepped-up basis, which for generational family farms would be devastating. Some positive news there, a couple things. Right now, the difference between Republicans and Democrats in the House is about 6 or 5 to 7 votes, depending on the day. There's a letter that's been signed by a dozen House Democrats who've said they would not be in favor of changing the stepped-up basis. That's important. The other thing that's important is last week, Chairman Scott, the chairman of the House Ag Committee, sent a letter to President Biden also saying that he would not be for making changes to the stepped-up basis. So we have for them to hold. We have a long ways to go. That's some encouraging news, but we got to make sure and fight tooth and tail to make sure that we protect the stepped-up basis because it would be damaging for our generational family farms and in my district and around the country.
So good to see you. Welcome to Congress, and we wish you the best.
Thanks for having me. I hope you have a lot of good interviews today.
Again, it's the Honorable Tracy Mann representing the 1st Congressional District of Kansas on today's Agribusiness Report.